shot! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss Eric Bieniemy moving on and share some final notes from the Super Bowl 57 victory. Joe, we've had a week to digest this Super Bowl victory. Any kind of final thoughts? Any epitaph here?
Well, we had a week to digest it because we were eating a lot of food. I think a lot of the Chiefs players had a week to sober up after seeing them on that parade. I mean, boy, not to bring that up, but boy, they were having some fun. But you know what? They deserve it, and they earned it, and they earned the, as Travis Kelce would say, they earned the right to party, right? And because you got to fight for your right to party, right, Travis? But no, yeah, they this has been great. I mean, watching that parade and seeing it, you know, it's been tough being here in Philadelphia, to be honest, you know, just dealing with some of the fans here. But, you know, I got to say the fans here have been great. I think, you know, even with the week off and getting a time for it to sit and fester or whatever, you know, not a lot of complaints about the calls or anything. I think that would, like Jeff, we said it from the moment these two teams were honored, you know, by winning to go into the Super Bowl, that it was a clean 2 weeks leading up, and it's actually been a very clean, you know, 2 weeks after, you know, or week after. I really feel that way, and I'm not just, you know, being Pollyanna optimistic about it. I think both teams really dealt with it really well. The Chiefs won like champions. They won first class. The Eagles, you know, conceded this game to the Chiefs in such a classy way. It's just been it's been very interesting to see, just from my seat, being in both camps, right? Living here in Philadelphia and covering the Chiefs and being a former Chief, like just to see that sports can be very positive if you just let them and you don't get caught up with the trash talking and all that. So I know we talked a lot about that, but I think it's important to reiterate.
Totally. Good point. An important point. Joe, the other thing I wanted to bring up, since we last chatted, there's been a lot of good articles about the game, a lot of cool videos on social media. One of the things that you probably saw, I know Nate Taylor mentioned in one of his really good stories for The Athletic, was that earlier in the season, Jamal Agnew of the Jaguars against the Eagles ran a similar play, like a motion that the Chiefs would end up using with both Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore to score those wide open touchdowns. And, you know, Agnew used it and was totally wide open for a score as well. And credit, I mean, that's the Chiefs had like a coaching clinic in the Super Bowl. And that was just one example, going back to that and seeing how the Eagles didn't respond well to it. But then I, Joe, I know you said this was a Philly perspective. I really got to question Jonathan Gannon that like you know, I know that was a super long time ago and stuff, but like you would think what usually happens with great coaching staffs is they see a glaring mistake like that, they fix it. And going a little further, we're going to talk about this later, but it does remind, it's like, geez, the Arizona Cardinals were that quick to hire Gannon, the defensive coordinator, or a guy like Eric Bieniemy, who is literally the one who was like creating all these schemes he literally out schemed him. I'm sure you saw that Agnew play.
Yeah, no, Jeff, that's a great point. And you know, I just backtrack a little bit to my comment about, you know, neither team being salty about the game, right? The Chiefs for winning like professionals and champs, and then the Eagles losing like champs in first class. I'm not saying that the Eagles fans weren't mad at somebody.
Yeah.
And I think they were really, really mad at John Gannon. Like, mm-hmm. I think that was, I heard on a couple of talk radio shows here that, you know, people wanted him fired. And then if he did get a head coaching job, it was good riddance. And I'm glad mm-hmm. he got that head coaching job so that, you know, Nick Sirianni didn't have to go through the process of firing, you know, his defensive coordinator. So that's how the fans and media felt here in Philly. So
you think he actually would have been fired, Joe? That seems
no, but that's what, not, that's not what just they that's thought. What that's what right. the fans wanted.
Right. That's what the
fans wanted. That they wanted him fired. And they're like, well, if he gets a head coaching job, good riddance, then Nick Sirianni won't have to fire him, you know, for what they consider the debacle. And I think that's where a lot of the anger, you know, my goodness, those guys, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, were more open than me on some of my tackle eligible touchdowns. It's like, jeepers creepers, guys. Like, I mean,
they did some of the next gen stats, you know, the yardage they were showing. I should pull it up just compared to, like, it was two of the most wide open plays of all season, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. So Jonathan Gannon. So, you know, and that brings us to a point that we need to obviously address, and that's the loss of Eric Bieniemy, right? I mean, we need to address that, Jeff, and we need to talk about it. And I'm sure we'll spend a lot of this off season, you know, each week going over this and digesting this with our listeners. But, you know, I think it's just a strange move that there's something. You and I have always said this. There was something with Eric Bieniemy that there was a reason why he didn't get, you know, snatched up like some of these other coaches. And whether it was the way he interviews, and I've heard some, you know, conspiracy theories that, you know, it's because somebody wants him to prove himself outside of Andy Reid, and that he's going to need this Washington Commanders job as offensive coordinator, assistant head coach to prove that he can, like, which he doesn't need to do that. Eric Bieniemy deserved to be a head coach in this league. And it's very frustrating as somebody who's been, you know, we've been very close to this team, you and I, and just frustrating that he didn't get the opportunity to be a head coach the way that you see other coaches get that shot, you know, especially some of these coaches that are young. You know, these younger coaches that are to me, some of them are just like unproven. You know, I mean, this guy's been to five AFC championships, three Super Bowls, two wins, mentored Patrick Mahomes, did it with a whole new cast of characters. Mm-hmm. Whether it was Eric or Andy or not, it's still, he was there learning and doing with Andy Reid as the OC. Like, I don't, you know, I can't imagine that somebody didn't see all of those accolades and say, what the heck? You know, I mean, because you get some of these unproven coordinators and position coaches that get elevated to head coaching jobs really without being battle tested the way that Eric Bieniemy was. So, you know, look, he's going to the NFC East. I wish him well. You know, obviously, if he was going to the AFC West, we'd be thinking differently, right? Mm-hmm. But he's going to NFC. He's going to a team that really needs help. And I really, we, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of Chiefs fans. I know Andy Reid's going to wish him well. You want your coaching tree to look great. And, you know, I think he's going to do really good things. So time will tell. And I hope that it all works out for him and that he ends up, you know, getting that head coaching job that he deserves.
I hope so too, Joe. And more on Eric Bieniemy. But first, even though the Super Bowl is over, Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro and college basketball to UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. Live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and the easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Joe, you brought up some great points about Eric Bieniemy that we're going to return to. But first, I wanted to kind of recap the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl parade. I actually had, it was cool. I got to speak to Jamaal Charles last week, who will undoubtedly be a Chiefs Hall of Famer. I think he's actually got a solid shot at being an NFL Hall of Famer. Anyhow, very cool promotion. He was giving away free Bud Lights at the Johnny's Tavern in the Power and Light District before the Super Bowl parade. I mean, who would turn that down? Free beer from a Chiefs star. And, you know, most of our interview was just about the excitement of the Chiefs winning and the celebration. But, you know, he was coached by Bieniemy. He was coached by Andy Reid. He endured some down years with the Chiefs and was released the year before the Chiefs drafted Mahomes. So, you know, I asked him if there's any level of envy of just missing out. And he had a great answer, Joe. He said, I wish I didn't see my script. He was referring to the Arian Foster video that went viral about games being determined. And Joe, I'm curious, your perspective and maybe some of the other players that you've been texting and stuff with that on this, you know, what your response are to the, I'm sure you're super excited. Any bit of envy that you know, you weren't the Chiefs a part of this?
No, I, you know, look, these the teams one thing in sports, Jeff, is you always position it so that you feel like they're standing on the shoulders of giants, right? That they've gotten to where they are because of foundations that were built year over year over year, right? A winning attitude, a culture that the Hunt family could continue on and on and on. And it's to me, it's more of a legacy. I really look, who doesn't want a Super Bowl ring, right? Who didn't? Who doesn't? And if you played the game and you were lucky enough and fortunate enough to be part of an NFL roster for a certain period of time, you certainly want to be able to flash, one of those rings and be on a Super Bowl champion, right? I mean, gosh, I always joke with people at work. I was like, oh, how would wouldn't it have been awesome to get a Super Bowl ring? I'd be like, yeah, I would love being in a sales meeting or something, an
Flashing
insurance
it,
meeting,
yeah.
and just like, kind of putting my finger up to my forehead and be like, oh, what's
Very
this? On my hand. Like
subtle, very subtle.
Everybody wants to do that. Come on, you want to hand it around and pass it around at a party or something, and let people see it and know that you accomplished something. But at the same time, Jeff, you got to be happy for the players that do get there, and we all kind of get to share in that success of the team. And I can't tell you how many congratulations, like I played, right? Like I got all these like messages and
That was going to be my second question, Joe. Not only you playing for the Chiefs, but being this, there's so much talk about you in the Super Bowl with your Philly, Kansas City connections. How many like text emails were you receiving? And did a lot of your former teammates kind of reach out to chat with you? If you could
Yeah, I mean,
tell me that.
it was fun to go through it. I think a lot of our teammates were busy, but a lot of friends here in Philadelphia, even people who knew that I was, a Philadelphia native and somebody who has always rooted for the Eagles as a fan growing up here, were all, sending congratulations to your team, congratulations to the Chiefs. I bet you're happy they won, in a good way, in a really good-hearted way, which is great. And it was nice, I got some that were like, hey, sorry the Eagles lost, your hometown Eagles, but hey, how about that win for your old Chiefs, and like it was really nice. I mean, I think this, like I said, it's just one more demonstrated reflection of these two teams and the classiness that they both exhibited throughout, the season and then throughout this playoff run, and then ultimately leading up to the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl and this time after. I think it's a real testament to the organizations and the players and their fan bases that have, really handled this well. Look, if there's always going to be a tweet here or an article there that somebody gets a little frustrated with something that happened in the game or whatever, or they get a little angry, but
How many like text messages, emails, tweets were you just blowing up, Joe,
Oh
after?
yeah, I mean I yeah, it's like I mean I'd be lying if I knew exactly how many, but I mean dozens probably, right? Of friends, Facebook messages, Facebook posts, that like we were putting up for our Super Bowl watching party, and pictures and things there, direct messages. Yeah, dozens and dozens of really good-hearted, congratulations, and some of them were condolences on the Eagles losing. Hey, sorry, you're a hometown Eagles fan, but hey, great win for the Chiefs though, right? Your old team. Like it's a ton of those. Like it was nice. It was nice to get to experience that. And I think going back to your original commentary about how older players feel about these new teams that go to Super Bowls. Look, I mean, we all get to share a little bit in that success. Yeah, we don't have a, diamond studded ring that, weighs your arm down, but you definitely have a sense of pride in the organization that you played there, and they went on to do really great things, and just whatever little part we play in it, covering it or going to the game or going to support Kimball Anders at the Ring of Fame game. It just it makes you feel good about having been part of that, about having been a part of that organization for sure.
And Jamal, you could sense his enthusiasm. He was great to
Yeah.
talk to, very excited. For him, it's a little bit interesting. And I, he was on, he said, injuries really got the best of me. For him, a guy like that who was doing so well, and then he did get hurt, and then he really just barely missed out on this great era of Chiefs football. I could see that being a little, he was genuinely excited, but for him, given his position, given his timeline of his career, I could understand if there's a little bit of envy and stuff. That's just human nature.
Sure.
Joe, getting back to, you made some great points on Eric Bieniemy, which I really agree with. But I think becoming the offensive coordinator and assistant head coach in Washington, though, is a good move for him. For whatever reason, you mentioned some of the possible maybe reasons. Maybe it was those. Maybe it was outright racism. Maybe it was some incidents he had in his background that have been discussed. Maybe it was some attributing the Chiefs' offensive success to Reid, like you mentioned, opposed to Bieniemy. Or maybe it was Bieniemy not being the greatest interview. Maybe it was all the above, probably some parts of what I just discussed. But he had been in Kansas City 10 years, and it had just, for whatever reason, plateaued. So it looked like, unfortunately, a head coaching opportunity wasn't happening. So, I mean, I think it's an unfortunate move because I think he is deserving of being a head coach. But I think right now is the right move for him. And I think if he turns things around on that Washington offense, which really only has one place to go, then he has to get a head coaching job. So I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, like you said, Jeff, it's probably a combination of things. Yeah, it's unfortunate, and it's probably a stew of things in the recipe for why he's not. And it's, time will tell now, right? He's going to get his chance to do something in a different environment with a different team, maybe with a little bit more say. And you hate for him to have to be tested in that role. That way, and it's almost like it's, I don't know, it just feels like an audition almost. But we'll see. It's something the Chiefs are gonna, we'll see how it affects the Chiefs too, right? I mean, if we see a dip in their offensive production, or we see something happen, maybe it's proof, the proof would be in the pudding that it was, Eric Bieniemy and not always Andy Reid, kind of building up the offense that has become, the Kansas City Chiefs vaunted offense. So it's gonna be interesting to see how it all plays out. As you know, Jeff, better than anybody, every single season is different. Every single season is new. Look at this list of free agents. My goodness, holy cow, what are we gonna do? I mean, I know we've got some cap room, and we've got some things, that we can do, but these players are gonna want to go out and start testing the waters, and it could escalate. It could escalate. Pretty bad when you look at the top salaries. Orlando Brown, Juju, Carlos Dunlap, Derek Nnadi, Andrew Wiley. Right, man. Did he have a game
He made
to
himself some money for sure.
wow. Like, whether it's staying with the Chiefs or whether it's somewhere on the free agent market that says, hey, you know what? He proved it in the Super Bowl against one of the best pass rushers in the NFC. There's some others too. I mean, Mecole Hardman, who's been hurt and injured, right? Jerick McKinnon, who's been effective. Maybe there's somebody out there looking for somebody like that. I mean, Juan Thornhill. Like, I the list, people can go on and look at the list. I mean, they know who they are. Justin Watson, right? What with all this, with Kadarius Toney coming on and Sky Moore, coming into his own as a rookie, what does that mean for Justin? And does he get a chance now? He proved himself, I think, a little bit during the season. So, it's going to be really interesting to see Nick Allegretti, right? Touchdown Nick. He's had some starts and he's played well and he's been a starter in the past. So, I think we're going to see just this Chiefs team, they're going to be tested, this front office staff and the scouts and getting ready for the combine, and what we can do. Definitely going to be tested this off season, maybe more than others.
I'm really excited, and it's always tough being the hunted. I mean, the Chiefs are always kind of hunted, but really more than ever they're going to be. They're the true team to beat. the closest thing to a dynasty and on the probably on the precipice of becoming one. You mentioned Jerick McKinnon. He might be the one that I'm most interested in seeing what his market at. He was amazing for the Chiefs. Now, I mean, the amount of touchdowns he scored, how good a receiving option he was, but he was so much more than that. He was also a runner. He was a great blocker, Joe. In that Super Bowl, he lined up one of the key plays as a fullback. Great pass blockers. So, but I'm really curious to see what his market is. He is a difference maker. I think he was one of the major guys who helped fill the void of Tyreek Hill because he was such a good outlet on passing situations. But he's 30 and he's had an injury history. So I'm really curious what his market is. In Kansas City, he totally his career came back when it looked like he was on the fringe of maybe, not lasting in the NFL. So is he love this culture and want to come back, or does he understandably want a kind of a payday after deserve after his play is certainly deserving of one, and there might be a team who could pay him elsewhere. And Joe, that leads me to another point that I about Eric Bieniemy, running backs. You have to think about Eric Bieniemy, and another possible knock, potentially, which I don't agree with, but it seems like all the gurus, who are the end up as head coaches and these hot offensive coordinator names, a lot of them are like quarterbacks or the passing game guys. And I don't know if Bieniemy was knocked by being his roots as a running back. But anyhow, I'm very curious, and I'm not saying that's right at all, but that seems to be the trend that the passers, do that. So I'm really curious to see. We don't know who Washington's quarterback is going to be. We don't really know what they do have the young kid from Alabama who showed flashes last year. Well, I'm very curious to see what the Washington offense looks like. Are they going to be, is Bieniemy going to go to his roots and he's going to be a run first, or are they going to be like more pass heavy? It's going to be really fascinating to see.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Jeff. I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, that's something I never really thought of. Thanks for bringing that up because that's a I'm gonna date myself. That's a V8 moment, right? The old V8 commercials,
Because
right?
so that look at even this hiring cycle, the Frank Reich, all these guys, it's former quarterbacks,
And you wonder if what this whole sort of this recipe that the Chiefs have created, the ingredients they put in, it never really did include the running game. I mean, really, if you think about it, yeah, they've had some magical, running backs, but the last, the five AFC championships and the Super Bowl weren't made up of, no Derrick Henry's out there. There's no Walter Paytons or Barry Sanders or they did it with I don't want to say smoke and mirrors. I don't want to take anything
But
away from
different guys almost every year who were
different.
effective, but new guys.
So is it the scheme? Is it just having running backs who aren't going to lose the game for you, who just are shorthanded and can do the work out of the backfield, give Patrick an outlet, get enough do enough running that they can, that they can take the pressure off of Patrick. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is going to be, I think his development is going to be, we talked a lot about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the development we were hoping to see out of him. We saw flashes of it, I think, at times, being that last pick of the first round and, kind of maybe thinking we got him for a steal. I think Isaiah Pacheco might be a real steal. Like he might be like a true tested and true late round, absolute, just unbelievable, draft pick that we're talking about for years to come if he continues to develop the way he does. Because I think you talk about Jerick McKinnon being a difference maker. I think Isaiah Pacheco, not just in his the results or his yards and his stats, but just probably in the amount of effort he brought to practice and in the locker room. He just seemed like a player who could motivate people just by the way he ran the ball and how much passion he brought to the field.
Joe, speaking a lot of Eric Bieniemy for obvious reasons, but this has a lot of connections here, especially with the combine not far away. I can't believe it's already that time. But you and Eric Bieniemy have some connections here. You were the same draft class, right? And
Same.
did you know him, or
Yeah, I met Eric. I met Eric. We When I was at the combine, my roommate was Ariel Solomon, who was an offensive lineman for Colorado, and he and Eric were friends, and we had caught up at one point during the combine. You know, just a couple of the Colorado guys were getting together to talk, and Eric was one of them, and I got to meet him and hang out with him for a little bit. So it was really nice to, you know, just shoot the breeze with them, and not really knowing each other, had no history obviously, because you know. Penn wasn't certainly playing Colorado at that time, because that's back when Colorado was, you know, they were fighting for national championships every year. And but yeah, and then like through the Chargers, right? So we'd see each other, Chiefs Chargers games, you know, and you know, just hey, what's up, Eric? How you doing? You know, just because you get to know somebody through, you know, Eric, like through I got to know him through Ariel Solomon, who was my roommate, who was another offensive lineman, was a great guy. And we've actually stayed in touch over the years, stayed in touch with Ariel, but so a little bit of a connection there, right? Same draft, and you know, kind of got to meet him and get to hang out and at the combine and get to know him a little bit. And it was always fun for me to meet guys like Eric Bieniemy. I mean, he was a legend in college, and that Colorado team was legendary. Those guys, you know, had, like I said, had been fighting for national championships. So it was really cool to you know, to be kind of running in those circles for a little bit.
Did you and I know you knew Solomon a lot better than Bieniemy, but you know he seems like a very gregarious, engaging guy with a good. Did that show in kind of his limited interaction with him? Do you get kind
Oh
of a feel
yeah,
for him as
definitely.
well?
He was yeah, just like, you know, friends with his lineman buddies that, you know, I was hanging out with at the combine. He's rooting them on and, you know, kind of, you know, just kind of supporting them and whatnot. Yeah, definitely in the interactions that we had, and even post, you know, the combine onto the Chargers Chiefs rivalries. I mean, seeing him, you know, out in San Diego, or when the Chief, the when they would come to Arrowhead to play us. I mean, you know, it was always a nice shake, a hand. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you, Eric. Hope things, how's everything going? You know, yeah. So it was definitely a little bit of a relationship there through the playing years. I haven't talked much to him since. You
So
know,
you're saying
you lose
you're
those.
not going to be on the watch. We'll break
I
news here.
probably
You're
won't get
not
any
on
Washington Commanders tickets at this point. I mean, I could
the
maybe ask,
watch.
but yeah, so it is going to be interesting to see, you know, how it all plays out for him.
Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.